you can appreciate defense. The Eagles' defense is playing at a pretty high level. How do they? Would you say that they're playing at a level very much similar to yours?
Yeah, I think they're they're probably ranked higher than we are. This is a really good group. Starts up front for these guys. Very aggressive. Coach Schwartz got these guys humming off the football, and they vary their stuff. They mix their coverages. It's a really nice group.
Pete, the Eagles have had some issues running the football this year, but they had a really good game against Atlanta. How do you view their running game in terms of being dangerous?
Well, the guys are averaging nice averages, across the board. All three guys are hitting it well, and the QB has a run threat in there as well. I think they're running the ball at a good average, and so that's something I'm looking at. And maybe not as many carries as to get it up in the 130s or 40s a game, but I think they're effective, and they've got nice choice and scheme, and the choice of runs that they've decided upon are good and difficult. So we take this very seriously as a good running team.
Pete, any advantage that you or the Eagles have in that last week they played against a defense that very similar to that of yours, obviously because of Dan Quinn?
I think it's washed out any advantages. We see them, they see us. I don't think there's any advantage to anybody.
In your time in Seattle, Pete, you've had a lot of success drafting and developing cornerbacks. What's the secret there? What have you been able to do that other teams haven't?
Well, we've got a pretty long-standing style. We've been coaching these guys for a long time in the same manner. I think we have good experience, I like the way we do it, and the way we bring our young guys up. I don't know. I just think that we have good concept and good principles and good kind of technique that when they play with us, they fill into the format and the style that we want. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you other than that.
Pete, since Russell was a rookie, I mean, he's run the ball a lot. You've run a lot of zone read with him. You've relied on him for rushing first downs. I mean, was there a conscious decision early on that he could take care of himself and not get hurt, that you weren't afraid to do that with him?
Yeah, that was a big part of it, that he had a really good conscience, and he understands, what the quarterback position means, to us, and how you can't throw your body in there without, getting banged up. So he's been really, really good at not getting hit. He doesn't, he'll take plays as far as he can, and then he makes the choices that we would want him to make. I totally trust him in that, and that's a very valuable quality that not all young quarterbacks have, as we've seen, but he definitely understands.
Are you kind of putting more on his shoulders this year because, Marshawn Lynch isn't, he retired and everything?
No, it has nothing to do with anything. He's just growing as a quarterback, he's grown every season, and he becomes more in command and understands the game more deeply and utilizes it. It has nothing to do with anybody else.
Noticed you used a lot of empty backfield against the Patriots. What does that do for you? Why was that so effective?
We use it every game. It's nothing that out of the ordinary. We might have a couple more snaps, but it's just something that we do. It's just part of our style. We like using the field, and it gives Russell a chance to become more dangerous as a runner and a scrambler and all that. But other than that, just like normal people, just spreading it out.
Pete, you're familiar with obviously having two very good safeties. I don't know how much have you watched of Jenkins and McLeod this season, but what do you make of how they've kind of been, so to speak, the linchpins for that defensive backfield?
Yeah, I've watched him a lot, and we know McLeod from the Ram days too. He's a fine football player. Really recognize his special talents about covering sideline to sideline. He's a big hitter. He's an effective tackler. He's going to make a big play. And Malcolm is a really good, versatile player as well. He tackles well, and he covers well, and he's a playmaker. So those two guys are really, you're on it. Those two guys are really centerpieces, and they're effective football players, and we're certainly taking that into account.
On film, what stands out about Carson Wentz?
Everything. He's a big, good-looking athlete. He runs well. He's got a terrific motion and release. He's just natural thrower. He's got a big arm. He's made all of the throws in just this early part of his NFL career. You can see he can throw all the throws on the move well, in the pocket well, is in command also and checking off. I think they're doing a really good job of how they're raising him, and I think he's been a great story for you guys, and he's going to be a great player for the future.
It's pretty well documented that Andy Reid and the Eagles had an eye for Russell Wilson back in that 2012 draft. I wonder if that was on your radar at all at the time, if there was any nervous moments knowing that the Eagles were kind of in play for the quarterback that you liked.
I don't think John specifically thought the Eagles were any more of a threat than other teams. I don't know that. I know Andy called us right after the pick, though, and gave John some trouble about it, but they're old friends. But we were really sweating it out. We wanted him the whole way, and John had it figured, obviously perfectly for us to get it done. And there was a couple other teams that called in right after that too. Andy was the first guy to call, though, but so it was. We felt very fortunate.
What was the message that he had? Do you remember?
He was just giving John a hard time for taking his guy. That just kind of regular banter that happens during the draft.
Pete. It seems like teams are still having struggled to find one or two safeties in the draft year in and year out. You have safeties that are very different in size and skill set. What do you make of the evolution of the position? Do you think guys have to be more versatile back there because of the increase in passing offenses, or do you think you can get away with having one three and one strong?
Well, I got a couple thoughts about that. I agree with you. There aren't a lot of guys coming through the draft year after year, because we're always looking. And, I'm always looking for guys that are really versatile, like as you said, all-around athletes, guys that can do a lot of stuff. Because everything you ever have done in sports kind of fits into making plays back there as a safety. The timing, the feel, the awareness, the ability to diagnose, the speed that it takes, the athleticism. I mean, there's so many things that go on to play that spot well. There's a lot of guys that can play it, but not everybody can play it well. We have two totally different types, I've had a real variance of styles of guys back there, and so I have no problem with trying to place them to do what they do well and feature that. Cam is such a big hitter and such a force around the line of scrimmage and covering in tight areas, and Earl is such a range guy, that we've played them accordingly. Even though we cross over, I think when you ask the question about, what are you looking for, and of course you want guys that can do everything, and it helps if you have guys that are versatile enough to play the deep ball stuff and the line of scrimmage stuff, but that doesn't happen very often. There's very few guys that are really well equipped to do all of that, and I think that they're more rare than you would think. But they're hard to find. We're always looking.
Pete, this is kind of an old story, but we don't get out there very much. How do you break down the factors that have made you such a home field advantage in CenturyLink field? I mean, I know it's a fairly long trip for most teams anyway. But anyway, how do you break down what have made you guys so have such an advantage at home?
We're about as far away as you can get, and it is a big trip. This stadium and the fans that show up, the 12s that come to our games, are just ridiculously avid and loud and so loyal. It's an incredible environment, and there's nothing you can say. It's just so loud, and they just won't stop getting after it. They stand up and they holler the whole time. That's just kind of it's the nature of this area of the people that show up. They do it for the Huskies as well, so it's just kind of built in. But it's about the noise, and it's about the level that we play at, when we're playing for them, and it can be a distraction, and so it's been a good factor over the years.
Hey, Pete, the conventional wisdom used to be that you ease a young quarterback in, and even if he started right away, that the team success might not follow for a couple of years, but with what Russell did with you guys and Carson's doing here and Dak down in Dallas. Do you think that conventional wisdom was flawed all along, or has the game changed a little bit?
No, I truly think the game is – it's not the game that has changed. It's the coaching has changed to the point where kids are raised differently. I go back to Flacco, when he came in, and Matt down there at Atlanta. Those guys, when they came in and they started right away and were playing, they were pocket quarterbacks – they just showed so early that they were so well equipped, so well prepared. You know, when you throw a curl route, whether you're 13 years old or you're 23 years old or 33 years old, it's the same curl route. And when you've thrown them your whole life as you're growing up, after throwing curl and flat and out routes and seam routes, you become proficient at it, you know, and the guys are just way ahead. What's happened in football is people are more willing to throw the ball. You know, back in the old days, you know, you thought something bad was going to happen. Well, that's not the way it is anymore. Spread offenses, understanding and just commitment to the throwing game has raised kids that they're just precocious. You know, they're just coming along much better prepared than they were in earlier years, and that's been proven. You're seeing it exactly with Carson, and you're seeing even with the limited play he had in college, and he's still a great player. And I think we just see examples every year.
Hey, what sort of impact does Michael Bennett, not having Michael Bennett, do for your defense?
He's a great football player, you know, and he's an unusual, unique player. And to not have him is to just – there's no way you can replace his style. He's a savvy, instinctive, you know, playmaking guy, and we try to give him a lot of freedom to do what he does, and we don't have guys that are the same as that. Nobody does. You know, he's a unique style. Frank Clark's doing a good job. He's been very effective for us, but he's just a second year guy. And you know, Mike uses years of experience and savvy that it's rare. So of course we miss him.
In the 2014 draft, you guys looked at the wide receivers pretty early. Jordan Matthews, what stood out about him then?
Really consistent performer, big numbers, tough guy, had a great attitude that you see all the time. You know, he's a very aggressive, physical player, and we really liked him. You know, we thought he was really good. So there's no wonder that he's had such a good career getting started.
Did you feel you had to guard at all against complacency or just a letdown after this week, after having that big win at New England and coming back home and feeling pretty good about the outcome?
I feel like you have that same challenge week in, week out, whether you win or whether you lose. And it's always about getting back to the basics of the next week and going. So this is a classic example that most people would say just what you just said, that's what would happen. But we fought to understand how that works for years, you know, and to develop a consistency where the game before doesn't affect the game after. So this is a good challenge. It's the classic one that comes up, and hopefully we'll do really well with this.
Pete, what have you seen from Jason Peters, and how he's been able to have success even though he's 34 now?
He's just a marvelous player. He has athleticism. For the guys to play that late in their career, they have to have been really good athletes early on, you know, so that when they're later in their career, some of their skills diminish somewhat, they're still better than most guys, and he's one of those guys. He's just a superior player. To play this effectively this long, you know, he's got it all, and so he's a really good player.